Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Top of the Charts Tuesday. We play jams that reach the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. My man Patrick doing a great job DJing a Top of the Charts Tuesday. You can always be a part of the show. Specs text line is the best way to do it. 512-337-3776. You also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Harge is at Hardball Harge. My man Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. Texas OU preview time. We'll get into it. We'll also talk about who the starting quarterbacks are going to be for either side. Apparently, both head coaches playing coy about who their quarterback is going to be. So we'll get into that conversation here from Brent Venables about that as well. But it's 4:07, and yes, OU still sucks and always will. All right. I'm going to start adding always will at the end.
Yeah,
that's my little thing.
That's your new thing.
It's my new thing. Not that OU still sucks, but and always will.
And always will.
Just got to throw it out there. But I love this week. Of course, everybody loves Texas OU week. What's not to love about it? Especially when, let's be honest, OU looks wounded.
Yeah.
They look wounded. I think that's why Longhorn fans are so giddy right now. And instead of being anxious, what they usually would be this week, they'd be happy, but they'd still be anxious. The butterflies could easily turn into the bubble guts.
Exactly.
Is it the bubble guts or butterflies? You don't know until you get out there.
I was going to say, but it's a big difference.
Exactly. Sometimes you're like, oh, it's just the butterflies. You're like, oh, no, that's not butterflies. That's the bubble guts. Yes.
Yeah.
So Texas, I think right now, a lot of Longhorn fans, they got the butterflies because it's a good nervous energy because they feel like Oklahoma is wounded and that they're Texas Longhorns after their game versus West Virginia back on the right track and on the right trajectory.
Yeah.
So for Longhorn fans, I would just say this. The dub is what's important. The conversation about how much you're going to whip Oklahoma by and whipping Oklahoma, that probably shouldn't be the conversation for Texas, even for the fans. All right? Get the dub.
Yeah.
Get the dub.
Walk out with a win.
And remember, this is where, for Sark, this is my message to Sark. This is where it all started, Sark. This is it. This is where the bad narrative about you and being your style of coaching and your lack of adjustment and the collapses after being up at half, collapses after being up in the fourth quarter, it all started at this game. You had the white pants on. You were looking clean. L'Oreal had you looking clean. Woo! Fashionista. Oh, man. Everybody was like, man, he looked clean. I wonder if he's going to back that up with a great game plan. Of course you did. The game plan was cleaner than your damn outfit, man.
Man, say it again.
It was clean. All right? It was. The game plan was cleaner than the outfit. It was nice, and every Longhorn fan was. They were euphoric at that point. I mean, yep. There were Longhorn fans out there after that first half. They were catching the Holy Ghost. They were moved so much by Texas in Sark's first year, putting an Old Testament style butt whipping on Oklahoma in the first half. And then the greatest collapse in Texas football history happened. I'm not making that up. Texas, in the history of the program, has never lost a lead that big and lost a game.
Right.
That was the greatest collapse in Texas football history. That's where the narrative started. So, Sark, you want to exorcise the demons, all right, once and for all, and destroy that narrative. What I always say, if you don't like what people are saying, change the conversation. You want to forever put that to rest and put it to bed, get up big on Oklahoma, and then get up even bigger on them in the second half.
Right.
Show me something
in the second half.
Whip Oklahoma the way Bob Stoops whipped Texas a few times back in Mac Brown's early days. And by the way, raising my hand, because I was on the whipping end of one of those Old Testament style butt whippings in 2000.
All
right?
Don't tell me it was Cedric Griffin. Cedric Griffin. What's the little running back name? What is his last name, Griffin?
It was Griffin, but it was
Quinn Griffin.
Yeah,
it was Quinn.
Quinn Griffin. Yeah, yeah. Trust me. Yeah, I remember. You ain't got to remind me about the little big man.
I was like, the little big man.
We call him the little big man.
What's up, little big man?
Trust me. But yeah, just so you guys know. Oh yeah, somebody says, Rod, it is 4:12. Yes, and OU sucks. Yeah. And always will. And it 4:12. Yes, 4:11 on my clock. But you know what? Damn it, I feel you.
Yeah.
But yeah, my point is, Sark, this is where it all started for you. This is where you have to exercise demons. When you go to therapy right? You go to therapy, you go to counseling. They try to get to the root cause of your problem, and they often ask you to go confront. When they find out what the root cause of it, if it's your mom or if it's your brother or your dad, like, all right, I need you to go talk to them. Got to go confront the root cause of your issue. Sark, the root cause of all of your problems so far since you've been on the 40 Acres is Texas OU. It was in this game. It was in this game. This is where it all happened. This is where it all started. Now you go exercise those demons, and you get a chance to do it against a wounded Oklahoma squad whose starting quarterback is likely out. Oh, man. You couldn't have asked for a better. They just served it up to you on a platter.
But that's why I get nervous. That's why, as a fan of this game, and I'm sure a lot of people are, whenever you walk out there and you're a little bit too confident, there's a problem with that.
Because you have fans, not the
not
team.
The players. Yeah.
Players different. The fans can be overconfident. Not the player, not the team.
That's why.
What Sark say? Hey, I still don't have the golden hat.
That's what it is.
We still ain't got the golden hat in our damn facility.
And man, and did it not seem like he was saying something else in there too? He's like, I won't have the golden hat, and they got my pride last time, and they got all of me last time.
Come on, man.
So I'm coming back for them. You can believe me. I'm telling every single one of them this is personal.
Yeah.
Because I was a great coach until OU last year.
You know what happened to that white suit?
And then people started to question.
He burned that white suit. He went home, L'Oreal, and he
burned
it.
Never,
you know, you ever watch American Gangster?
Yeah.
When Denzel Washington he wears the mink coat or whatever, he wears the mink that really it's a beautiful mink coat, but it's obviously attracting a lot of attention. And he was supposed to be an under the radar drug dealer, and he went to the was it Muhammad Ali?
Was it
Ali fight?
It was
a big fight. I saw that in the movie. Goes to the fight, and the feds start seeing this guy's like, who is this guy in this really expensive, like, mink coat and hat? Who is this guy? They take pictures of him, and that's when he's finally on their radar. And they're like, all right, we got to figure out who this guy is. And that's kind of the beginning of the end for Denzel Washington. Short story. Sorry if I spoiled it for you. But
if you ain't seen it by now, American Gangster, you missed out because that thing has been there.
Yeah, that was Sark.
Yes.
All right? That's that the suit.
Give me that suit.
That suit, it put him out there on the platform. It kind of put him out there. And everybody was like, man, he looking clean. Okay. Oh, you know, and his wife dressed him. His wife's a fashionista.
That's
clean.
Exactly.
And then he goes out there in the first half, balls out. Everybody's like, man, I told you, that white suit was a good omen, man. He came out there with the swagger. He was trying to show y'all boys. And then the second half, I was like, don't ever wear that white suit again.
Yeah.
They're like those black basketball uniforms
for
Texas basketball. Don't ever wear those ever again.
They always wore it against Duke.
Sark came home. He took that damn suit off, threw it in the fireplace, and burned it. He was like, L'Oreal, don't you ever suggest a white suit to me again.
Remember, he had that orange stripe on it too.
Yeah,
he had that orange stripe on the side. Yes.
He was clean. That was a Joe Frazier fight. Thank you, Joe Frazier fight. Thank you very much, Sexer. But I'll tell you, Sark came on, he burned that damn suit. He burned it. And you know, here's what I'll say, Sark, I know you burned that suit, and I know you were really unhappy about it. Trust me, we're all men, we get it. All right? But I'll say this, you should wear that suit again.
Yeah.
Pull out the suit again.
Redemption.
Pull out the suit again.
It's been burnt. It's charbroiled.
I know.
It is charbroiled.
Wear another one, bro. Wear it. Wear it because it was clean.
All white. Go all white.
No
stripes on the side.
Just go icy
all
white.
Yes.
Icy white.
Because you're wearing icy white. We're the visitors.
They're
visitors.
Okay, go icy white then. You can do that.
Squad up,
go
baby.
Icy white, man.
Squad up.
Oh, someone says here, it happened in Goodfellas too. De Niro gets mad about the jacket in the car.
That's right, because remember, that's right.
And he kicks him out of the club because the dude buys.
He's like, I told you don't be going and spending no money. We do not want to draw attention
to
ourselves.
Sark drew too much attention to himself, and then he had the big first half, and then collapsed in the second half. And I'm telling you, Sark, I know he burned that damn suit, but Sark, you should break that suit out again, man. I know he burned it, but don't. You should break it out again, man. We need the redemption. This is a redemption. This
Put
is where you exercise those demons, baby.
No stripes down the leg,
though. No, just straight up white.
Just
I'm with
straight
you.
White.
Hey, no. Go.
Remember last
go
week?
Go all white. Go all white. I'm going to hard on this. Go icy white and then black tie, black shirt.
Like
you can't, you know what I mean?
Remember how clean Junior Angelou was this past week?
Yeah.
I said, look at Junior.
Like
he was
that.
Clean in the all white.
Go all white on him.
Go ahead.
Black shirt. Go Johnny Cash with the shirt and the tie black.
Miss L'Oreal.
What? Sun and sunglasses on.
Miss L'Oreal.
Hook him up.
We asking
you. Know what I'm saying?
Fashionista. We need our boy Sark. all white redemption tour, or, black tie.
And honestly, if you want to go, straight up Johnny Cash, I'm here for execution style. I'm for it. All black everything. All black everything. All black shirt, black tie.
Oh, yeah.
Black sport coat, black pants, Sark, black baby. Shoes, black Come socks. On. I'm an executioner there. I'm wearing all black because I'm here for a funeral and it ain't mine.
Exactly. And you walking down playing.
Come on, man.
Playing the Undertaker song. That's what the music. You know, they got the box. They got it. I need them coming in with the Undertaker music on the way down.
Sorry, it says they are home team.
No.
Are they home or away?
No, because we got our tickets from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you go.
We're visitors.
Okay, there you go.
Oklahoma sent us our stuff today.
All right. Yeah. All right, that's our fashion tips then.
Yeah.
Someone said he should leave the cotton bow in that suit after the win. Yeah.
No, whichever way, we needed somehow.
Whatever.
Redemption tour.
You got to exercise the demon. The demon started to haunt you during this game. This is where the demon came out.
Yeah.
This is where the demon came out, and it got you, Sark, and it didn't. And that reputation, that stigma has followed him ever since. He cannot escape it now.
Yeah.
Every time he's up early in the game, people go, uh-oh.
Black
Air Force Ones. I like that.
Yeah.
Black Air Force Ones or Black Jays. Yep. Ooh, get them. Texas should be able to get them some all black Jays.
Yep.
Come on. KD, hook it up. Yes, I'm with you, man. It's all black. I think we go all black.
I'm with it.
I think we go all black.
I mean,
man.
I'm with it. It's going to be
Cash
early
style.
Enough. It's going to be early
and
everybody's enough.
Because that's a statement. You go all black. What? All black. Remember NBA teams would do that? When they would go like for a closeout win,
oh yeah,
they were all black
because they were saying they were going to a funeral.
they
were going to the funeral.
It's your damn funeral, man. We going to. I like that.
Yep. I'll tell you the one don't do, and I don't know why. I just remembered this. Don't do the Houston Texans against the Patriots when they wore the leather jackets. Don't do that. Stay away from that one.
I remember that. I remember that one. I remember watching it. Was it Monday Night Football?
I think it was Monday Night Football.
It was a night game.
It was a prime time game. And I just remember them walking out. We all went, that's a bad look. That is not going to go well when they get their butt whipped tonight.
It was brutal. I remember that. I remember seeing J.J. White in the Letterman jacket and thinking to myself, this is going to be really good, really, really bad. And it was really bad. It was a straight up embarrassment. It was. All right. There you go. That's our fashion tips for my man Sark to try to get Sark to, I'm going with all black, but I don't mind my man Harge's suggestion. Go all white sport coat pants, white and this maybe a black shirt or a black tie. But either way.
And dark sunglasses just rolling in.
Exercise the demons, man.
Yeah.
Exercise the demons.
Yeah.
All right, L'Oreal. We're really interested to see what L'Oreal gonna dress him in, because I know, like I said, after he burned that suit, that was a traumatic moment in their relationship. I don't know that for a fact. That's just me as a black Stradamus. That's what I would have done. That's why my psychoanalysis of Sark. I think he went home very upset and burned the suit.
And for all the people on the Specs text line, we are not the home team.
No, we're the away team.
I got my tickets today from from Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, no,
parking pass, everything.
Well, also, we have so many home games this year because this one counts as an away game.
This counts as an away game.
Yeah, you got to wear your orange. You're in icy white. So Sark can be icy white, but the players are not going to be icy white.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. All right. Can we hear from Brent Venables about his? Let's hear from him about his quarterbacks first, because he's asked about Texas quarterback situation, but also asked about his own quarterback situation. Here is Brent Venables when he was asked by the media today about who the starting quarterback is going to be for Oklahoma.
I mean, obviously, he's the first one that went in last week, so guys are going to, we'll have three quarterbacks taking reps this week, just in case, and see how the week goes, and then by game time, we'll have that figured out, and I would assume even before then.
Okay, so he says they're going to have three quarterbacks practicing. Okay, so Harge, is that Booty, Belleville, and what's the other one? Is there another one? He's in
Evers.
Okay.
Nick Evers.
Because Dylan Gabriel is still in concussion protocol, so he is not practicing, even though he is with the team.
Correct.
He's not practicing.
Correct.
Okay, so you probably a little bit more familiar with their backup quarterbacks. I know about Booty a little bit, and we saw Belleville, and there's nothing much really
there's
to see there.
Nothing much to see there.
But what about this third string quarterback?
Nick Evers is someone who is a he was a nationally ranked quarterback. He was a four-star coming out of high school. He was a part of the Elite 11. He's from Flower Mound, Texas. He was highly, highly recruited, but he committed to Oklahoma early. And this guy, to me, I kept wondering why the other guy came in. I couldn't believe Bevel was the quarterback that went in. But
really?
I was on a show in Oklahoma today, and what they told me was throughout the process when the new coaches came in, he was still trying to get caught up to the new offense. So he was still learning everything and not up to speed at that time.
Yeah.
And remember, General Booty played at Tyler Junior College, so he was already playing as well. So when I started looking into it, I was like, y'all know that this quarterback is an elusive quarterback. He can run around. And then today we get the conversation that, oh, yeah, he started working out, getting some reps with the first team. So Nick Evers is the quarterback that you and I, the type of quarterback that you and I have talked about. If he's mobile, it gives them an opportunity to move around, extend plays. But this is a totally different environment. This is a totally different time.
And he's a freshman,
and he's
correct?
A freshman.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, not just fresh, like, went to prom last year, freshman?
Yeah, like, he class of 22. Prom.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That'd be a lot. But if you are Brent Venables, you got to have all those quarterbacks ready to go and exhaust every possible option potentially. Because in the game, not only could you get another quarterback hurt, it's not going to work. I don't want that to happen to anybody. But you could also end up having a quarterback look dysfunctional early on and shell-shocked early on, not unable to handle that environment. And maybe you need to infuse some juice in your lineup. Hell, we just watched last year Spencer Rattler get benched by Lincoln Riley for a freshman quarterback in Caleb Williams, and they come back and then win the game.
Right. Things have changed.
Yeah. So, I think Brent Venables smartly is getting all those guys ready to go. That's a smart move by him. Who's going to start at quarterback for the University of Texas? That is also something that Longhorn fans want to know, but also something Brent Venables is really curious about, and seems like he is game planning for both.
Oh, he's going to quarterback for them. How much does that affect the game planning, the scheming for both sides all week? Really not sure what's going to go on at the quarterback position.
My guess is, that it wouldn't affect either side. I know it won't for us. They're going to run their system, and they got tremendous football players around the quarterback, and the quarterbacks have played really well. So whether it's Cardo or Ewers, I don't see something dramatically different in what they do, and I wouldn't see a whole lot from them expectation wise and game planning what they would do different.
All right, I mean, that's just coach speak. So I'm glad that really didn't provide anything, and we know that the offense is different with Hudson Card and Quinn Ewers in there. It's a different offense.
He only got a sample size of
you only got a game and a quarter. So you got five quarters. Yeah, you got maybe four quarters.
Yeah.
Cause I think
Hudson
Card was in the fourth quarter of the ULM game.
Yeah, so you didn't really get to see much, but you did get an opportunity to see the type of plays and the type of throws that young man can make, which is why we all understood, he a little bit different. But When he comes back into the game, and I'm not sure when that's going to be, how sharp and accurate is he going to be? Is he going to be that guy that we saw against Alabama? I sure hope so. I sure hope so that he can come in and do that. But you know as well as I do, dealing with that pain and trying to fight through it, again, it goes back to the pain threshold. We all want him to play, but I'm not that worried about it because – my man Hudson Card has been holding his own. And the main thing that I've loved about the way that he has played is he stayed within himself.
Yeah.
He stayed within himself. He's not trying to do too much. He just understands I've got weapons. And Sark, to his credit, last week's game plan was flawless. And that was the perfect way to go about it. He missed some throws. Yep. But even when other people were in the game, they missed some throws too. You know, there's going to be some times. But – you just have to continue to be positive. And I think the way that they feel and the way that this team for Oklahoma looked for the last couple weeks, I'm not just talking about last week. You can go back to the week before that. That defense did not look good at all. Whether it was busted coverages, not understanding the assignment, They're not a good-looking defense.
Their eye discipline is horrible.
Yes,
that's one of the worst eye discipline ever. Yeah. It's really bad.
Yep.
Okay, before we go to break here, but let you know what's on Hard Knock Life. One quick experiment. We'll do this every day. Who do you think is going to start at quarterback for Texas in the Texas OU game? Count to three, gentlemen. One, two, three.
Carr, Quinn yours.
Okay.
Y'all haven't wavered. I haven't wavered.
Okay. I'm going to see how you feel every day. It's a little heat check. You still say Hudson Carr. Yep, I still think it's going to be Quinn Ewers. Patrick still thinks it's going to be Quinn Ewers. What you got coming up for the people on Harsh Knock Live?
We got our man Sam Mays, who covers Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. He's going to be joining us. And as you know, put on your seatbelts because he does not hold back.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Coming up, Harsh Knock Life. You don't want to miss it. On the other side, right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folks, but in front of your own, speak my mind.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Joining us. Welcome back to a Top of the Chart Tuesday edition of Ball Don't Lie. It's your boy, Hardball Harge. You can follow me on Twitter, at Hardball Harge. You can follow my man, Rob Babers, at Rob Babers. And you can follow man behind the glass, at It's Patrick Davis. You can also be a part of the show on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. And joining us right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline is a man that does not hold any punches. He was a lineman for Oklahoma State, and he's been around the game for quite some time. He's the host of the Sam Mays podcast, and he's also the co-host of the Hoover and Mays show on Tulsa's 97.1. And he's a good friend of mine, my man, Sam Mays. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you, man.
Thanks
always good to talk football with you, because you were one of the best to be out there to play it and to be the one to talk about it. So let's get right into it, my man. Oklahoma, your thoughts on them right now.
Man, they're hot garbage, aren't they? I mean, just hot garbage. You know, the thing that's crazy about it is, and so I went back and watched the game three times. And I'll be honest with you, you know, one of the hardest things to do as a former Oklahoma State Cowboy is not to take a little pleasure out of just the beating that TCU delivered them. Like, it's like they're doing it for all of us. You know, Oklahoma's had 20 years of success in this conference. And so to see them in this situation is just so unique. I mean, really, since my whole life in Oklahoma, I got here at 18 years old and started playing in Oklahoma State. I've never seen them like this. That was the worst game I've ever seen them play. The crazy thing about it is a lot of it, like, I bet you 28 points of that came from, like, just dumb stuff, like missed alignments and missed assignments. And, like, I can't even tell you that TCU just flat out outplayed them, because Oklahoma lined up so poorly defensively so many times that it was almost like taking candy from a baby. So what I would tell people is, at some point, they're going to get that team confident enough in what they're doing and lining up correctly, and they're probably going to be a little bit better than people anticipate. I don't necessarily know that that's going to happen this week. I think they're probably a couple of weeks away from that going down, but they're going to get it figured out eventually. A lot of that was just, like I said, just poor football that was being played. Now, guys just in the wrong place. Like, how do you line up on the right side? If you're the right defensive end and you look out to your right, and you've got a tackle that's outside of you and a tight end, but there's no outside linebacker next to you in a three-man front, don't you think that you would stand up and say, hey, something's not right here? Like, if you go back and watch the game, there were two times that Duggan looked out to either side of the defense and did it like a double take. And you can see him starting to count, like, in his head. And he's looking around, and he audibles. And he's like, cool, I'll just go ahead and run this play and get 60 yards on a run, because you don't have anybody lined up out there. Like, this is chess, not checkers. You got a bunch of smart kids playing this game. So when you got quarterback play like you have in this conference, and if you all haven't noticed this, there's only two offensive lines in the conference that will have some youth on them. That's Texas and Kansas. The rest of these cats are old, inexperienced, 25, 30 games played. Like, you're dealing with some real thugs on the offensive line of the Big 12 now. So if you're out there making those mistakes and you're giving these guys just free runs at open space, of course they're going to score a bunch of points. All right? Of course they are. So, I mean, I think that a lot defensively is very correctable. I just wonder, like, how far gone can they be? Like, how simple was the Alex Grinch's defense that I got defensive ends on this team that are in a three-man front and don't recognize that there should be another human being standing next to them? Like, that seems crazy, but that's what was going on Saturday against TCU.
Wow. No, I totally agree. I watched it too, Sam, man, and I'll admit I've never seen a defense that discombobulated for the Oklahoma Sooners. But let me flip to the other side of the ball and ask you about the quarterback situation with the injury to Dillon Gabriel and, of course, the national discourse happening right now about head trauma and injuries. A lot of people suspect that he won't be available for the Sooners. What's their answer at quarterback?
Man, you know what? I really don't know, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. Oklahoma's offense, their offensive line is not bad, and they've improved the last couple of weeks. I think will continue to improve this season. Beedenbo's got something to figure out there with the group that he's got so far. The running back situation is legit, and that receiving core is special. They've got some dudes that can really play out there. The quarterback is really the only thing holding it back, and that's a real unpopular opinion up here because I got all these cats that just look at stat lines and use that as the gospel. The reality is that dude will hit like three or four big plays in the game, but the plays that he's missing are third and six, right? Or third and eight. Or let me go ahead and complete this quick slant because it'll take this second and 12 and get it down to a manageable, you know, third and four. Like, he's missing those clutch plays that you've seen Duggan and Martinez make. Sanders up there in Stillwater making the Daniels kid in Kansas, those boys are making those plays. They're keeping their offense on the field. Gabriel's not doing it. And so as far as I'm concerned, like, I don't think that the Bevel kid is very good, and he didn't prove he was at least last week. Then they got the John David Booty kid, which I don't know that he brings a lot to the table. They're talking about Nick Evers, the true freshman that's on this team, and maybe he'll get some run this week. But as far as I'm concerned, they should have an open – like, if you got youth – if the Evers kid can play, they need to start the kid, because I don't think that Gabriel is proving to me that he's got the, like, this is University of Oklahoma, right? This is not Tulsa. This is not Oklahoma State. This is not, I mean, this is a different brand as far as quarterbacks are concerned. I don't think that kid's going to get there. So I would definitely go with some youth here. I'd start Evers game number one. You know, it's OU Texas. It is what it is. Texas's quarterback situation is up in the air too. Let's see what the kid brings to the table. I think they've got a real hole at that position right now.
And that's the sad part of it. We're talking to Sam Mays. You can follow him at All-America Mays or whatever?
Oh, no. All-American Mays.
All-American
Mays. American. Yeah. I went to Oklahoma State. I definitely got a little redneck in me now.
Because every time I look at it, yeah. I'm like, man, I hope I say this right because the way it's spelled.
Hey, I remember you, Sam, man. You were a hell of a player. This is just straight up.
I appreciate it.
Just to let you know, man. I remember you, brother, no doubt.
So, Sam, as we sit here today and you're looking at this Oklahoma team, you already told us how you felt about it, about how it looks on paper. What is the narrative with Brett Venables right now, the way he's gone about things? He seems to, you know, everybody keeps saying that he's bringing back Oklahoma, but he's been gone for quite some time. Now he's trying to establish that defense. They've had a bunch of mistakes. He still don't know who his quarterback is. Well, after the injury, what is the pulse of Oklahoma's fan base right now?
Look, they love that dude. And I can honestly say that I've never wanted to see a coach have more success in my life. Like, Brett Venables is the real deal, right? He's the real deal. He wears his faith on his sleeve. He loves the game of football, and he loves the men that he coaches. And he's got a bunch of coaches on his coaching staff that are very much that. Like, when I listen to, I have the pleasure of listening to Barry Switzer talk probably two or three times a year now. And when Coach Switzer starts talking about his former players, he gets teared up, like, on the podium. And he's at the middle of a charity function, and he's got tears running down his face talking about whatever team and this year and this kid and his fight and his family. And Venables is that guy in 2022. And unfortunately, in college football, we don't have enough of those, right? There's not enough of those guys. I think Joey McGuire down there in Texas Tech is one of those guys. I think Chris Klieman is one of those guys where they just love it. Like, they genuinely love it. And I think when you think of where Oklahoma was at under Lincoln Riley, something was just missing in that team. There wasn't a big, there wasn't a heartbeat of that roster as much as there was just great athletes. They really didn't have an identity to that football team outside of a bunch of points being scored in numbers, right? And I think what Venables is talking about here really kind of hits home with Oklahoma fans as far as the, you know, this is a family, faith, and football mentality here, and they love him for it. So he's saying all the right things, and they're behind him, and you know, there's definitely some frustration here, but you'll 90% of OU fans will tell you they're 100% all in and that they believe that Venables is going to be the next guy to win a national championship in Norman.
Hey, Sam, man, I'd regret it if I didn't ask you about Oklahoma State since we got you on. I'm a big Mike Gundy fan. Talk about him a lot. I've been saying that Mike Gundy, when he's got a veteran quarterback, a multi-year veteran quarterback returning like he does with Spencer Sanders, I mean, without fail, he usually wins 9-plus games, and that quarterback rarely, if ever, regresses, always gets better. Is that what you're seeing with Spencer Sanders right now in this system with Mike Gundy this year?
I will tell you that Mike Gundy has – I don't think he's ever really liked Spencer Sanders as a quarterback until this season. I really don't. Like, Gundy's real – Gundy will not give quarterbacks a lot of freedom if he doesn't care for them. And so when you go back to, like, Brandon Weeden, he had the keys to the kingdom. At some point, Mason Rudolph, I thought, maybe earned some of that junior and senior year, but he was kind of sketchy with him too. He's never wanted to give Sanders the keys. And if you look at this season, I feel like there is a level of trust between Gundy and Sanders and an understanding that who Spencer Sanders is as a quarterback for the first time. I think Sanders and Jalen Hurts are having the same exact season. I think both those kids have always been really good football players that are playing the quarterback position. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all went to high school with one of them.
Yep.
Like, he was the best athlete, and he ended up being quarterback, and he was just good enough to go do something with it. But I feel like both Jalen and Spencer Sanders are going through a transition where they both look like quarterbacks first. Like, guys that are out there playing the quarterback position the way that it should be played. They're thinking like a quarterback. They're moving like a quarterback. Their hips are in place like a quarterback. And when they do take off, they don't get hit like a quarterback. They're avoiding contact for the first time, both of those guys. I think it's such a cool story to watch them both do what they're doing this season. But I truly believe that, you know, they had to kind of bully ball that game in Waco. It wasn't as pretty as maybe you would like to see out of Sanders. But I think he's got some big-time performances coming up. And I think they're at the end of this season, some people might be talking about him and a potential NFL draft pick. Not a high pick by any means. I'm not talking about first round or second round or maybe even third round. But this is somebody that I think is probably going to play their way into the NFL draft this year.
And he can actually come back for another year if he wanted to because of the COVID year.
Wow.
That's the crazy thing. That is totally insane. Sam, before we let you go, man, what's your prediction for Saturday at the Red River Street Fight is what we're going to call it?
I love it. I got to ask y'all a question first. The left tackle is a true freshman for Texas, right?
Correct.
Let me tell you something. That's Texas's next top 10 draft pick.
I know you know how to look at those linemen. What do you like about them?
That boy, he has no earthly idea what he's doing, but his natural movement, his natural, like, his spatial awareness, the distance from him to the defender, when he strikes, how fast he strikes, and how quickly he is able to take power away from the defender is exceptional. Do y'all know what he did against Alabama? I've watched him play that.
Yeah,
I've watched
buddy.
That game three times just so I could watch that kid play. Because he looks like a baby, and it's like, okay, you're figuring it out, but good Lord, is he a grown-ass man when he gets those mitts on you. He is special, right? He is absolutely special. So I would keep an eye on that boy. He's going to be an all-timer there. They haven't had a kid like that at Texas. I feel like one that can be – he's not even, like, vicious yet. Wait till he starts to get confident in what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's going to own this league. There won't be a defender in the league that wants any part of that kid. So, like, I'm super excited to watch him grow. He's exceptional.
You just made Longhorn's day, Sam. You have no idea. Longhorn's a giddy right now after that little breakdown you just gave, brother.
Especially coming from a man like you that played that position that truly understands what it looks like to play that position.
Yeah, that kid's special, man. I think this is probably a weekend for Texas. I'd like the fact that – and Sark to me has given off different vibes this season in a positive way.
Yeah.
Like he seems to me like he's maybe settled on into that seat. I think those kids are responding to him. You know, Texas at times can be overwhelming. Like the brand could be overwhelming, I think, even for incoming coaches. Like you can just see it when they get off the plane. Like this shell shock kind of a feel to them in that first year, even at Big 12 Media Days. Now I've seen a couple of them, you know, with Herman and now Sarkisian. Like it's almost like it takes a minute to settle in. And I think that once the football takes over, these coaches, they become a little bit more like themselves. Sark looks more like himself this season, which is a good thing. He's had some great game plans. You love the fact that he's got two quarterbacks that are game ready. I think the Ewers kid is probably going to be the best quarterback in the league at the end of the day. Maybe not this year, but in the next couple of years, good Lord, does he have some instinct on him. And he's really kind of a jerk. Like, I love quarterbacks like that. Like, that are, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You get a quarterback that's a real jerk.
Yep.
Like, and it's just like, you love him because he's yours, but everybody else hates him.
No doubt.
Like,
brother.
I think that's what that kid is. Yeah, I like him. I think he's going to be a good player. So I think Texas finds a way this weekend to get this thing done. This is a good, I feel like for the first time in a long time, I'm watching the Longhorns play and feel like they're taking some real steps forward that are cemented in concrete. Like they're not slipping. You know what I mean? Like they've got some traction for the first time in a long time, which is good to see for Texas.
Well, we appreciate you, brother. I know our Longhorn fans are already hitting us up on the Specs text line. They really loved your take on Banks. And by the way, he's only 18 years old, bro.
Ooh. Crazy, man.
Yeah. Well, are you gonna be at the fairgrounds this week?
You know what? I'm not sure yet. I got to call a high school game Friday night, but I might make it down there. I'll hit you up if I make it.
All right, please do. There he is, my man, Sam Mays. You can follow him on Twitter, All-American Mays, and he will definitely keep it 100, as he always does. Appreciate you, brother.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, all right, Sam.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sam was a hell of a player. He played maybe two years after I already left, but he played while I was still in school.
Les Miles was his coach.
Exactly. I played against Les Miles. Yeah. I think his last year might have been, I should have asked him, like 03 or 04.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember Sam Mays really well.
He said he still cusses Vince Young all the time and those defensive linemen for Texas.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he does. no doubt. I mean, because even my last year, they were close to beating us here at Texas. I had the game-saving interception in that game.
Yep.
Otherwise, we'd have lost to Oklahoma State. That had been before the Oklahoma game.
Right.
Oklahoma State's always played Texas really tough, and it'll be the same this year. Guaranteed.
No
that.
Doubt.
Might have to bring him back on when we play Oklahoma State coming up. Oh. Sam Mays, good guess. Good stuff there from Harge and Harge Knock Life. All right, we come back. We'll get into Tom Brady and Giselle, the latest chapter in their marital issues. maybe the last chapter in their marital issues. We'll talk about that on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain and comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Time for another edition of Off the Record, and this is a very unfortunate edition of Off the Record, gentlemen. Page Six is reporting that Tom Brady and Giselle Bundchen, the power couple, seem to be heading for the end zone. Nah, yeah, that little pun there. That was a Page Six pun. That wasn't mine.
That's my
man. Both have retained, reportedly, both have retained divorce lawyers. And also, Page Six previous revealed the couple have been living separately for the past couple of months following an epic fight. I think we all have our own guesses as to what that fight was about. I think we all believe Tom promised her some retirement of some sort. And that retirement obviously did not happen. And Tom Brady still playing the game that he loves. Game still loves him. But wifey, although she loves him, she may be ready to move on, gentlemen. Says here that she does indeed have she has retained a divorce lawyer. They both have And it says now they're apparently looking at dividing up their multi-million dollar estate.
It's a lot of bread.
Wow.
It's a lot of bread between those two. I went and looked up the net worths, so to speak. They both doing really, really well. Oh, they will be able to get cheese on their burgers.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah.
So they're going to be okay. But it would be plant-based burger, by the way. It would be plant-based cheese.
Well. with Brady, of course.
Yeah.
TB12. Can't be eating that trash.
But, it's unfortunate. But we kind of figured this was happening from the very beginning, right? When he had to take some time off, comes back to the presser and says, you know, we all dealing with some bleep, you know. This is what he was dealing with. He knew it was coming. And the fact that they were living separate lives.
And he was getting every Wednesday off. Remember that? That was also another report.
But then he went to practice. He showed up at practice that day.
And you know what that meant?
Yeah.
That meant the Wednesday off that was meant for Giselle and family time. She's like, nah, you good. We don't need it.
Yeah, we straight.
We straight over here.
We straight.
I told you that I don't want you half the time.
Right.
Okay? That I'm done settling for your time. I told you I was willing. It's just me guessing what Giselle wants.
No, that's right.
I told you
sound
I was
right
willing
there.
To wait around until you became the GOAT. And everybody now calls you the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we go on Twitter, all I see little GOAT emojis with your face or your name next to it. So you are the GOAT. Everybody says it. So now, why are you still playing, Tom? Tom, why are you still playing?
Yeah, we knew exactly what was happening, bro.
So
we
now I'm questioning whether you love the game more or you love your family more. And Tom probably was like, me, you, both. Basically, I wonder the same thing.
Yeah,
I love this game. You want me to give up the game I love?
Yeah.
But how about this? And I'll take Tom's side. I was in love with the game before I was in love with you. The game was my first love, not you.
The game really didn't love you, Tom, because it drafted you in the sixth round.
But look what the game did for me.
It gave it to you.
You
earned it.
The game gave you Giselle. You don't get Giselle if you ain't Tom Brady, Super Bowl
one
quarterback.
Before that, too.
He did. He had Bridget Moynihan once he became a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah.
All right. So the game has been good to Tom. Tom's like, the game been nice to me. You want me to give up the game that was my first love for you and the family, even though you married me knowing I was in love with the game?
Tom gave up Giselle to play the Panthers twice a year.
Hey, beat the Panthers twice a year.
There
difference.
You go.
Beat
there
the
you
Panthers
go.
Twice a year.
Yeah.
Oh, I know how this fight goes. I've had these fights. I can take both sides really well. Trust me on that. Taraj probably can do the same thing.
Yes, sir.
I know why this thing is ending. And you know what? I'm not mad. I see both sides.
Yep.
I genuinely see both sides. I see why Giselle is like, you broke a promise and you violated a trust that you can never repair.
You violated a trust.
We built our family and we built our future around. You retiring once you became the GOAT, and you decide now you're gonna keep going, and now we're watching Tua, hit his head off the turf, and dealing with serious head trauma. We don't know what the long term effects of that are gonna be. You want that to be you, Tom?
Tom's like,
I guarantee, Tom,
I do. Yeah, I'm sorry, girl. You fine, but you know what? There's a lot of fine ones out there. I'm sorry, Giselle. I love the pigskin.
He loves the game.
I love working.
You know
when we were on vacation and I brought my helmet and my shoulder pads and I was training? Yes, I spent time with you, but I wanted to run on the beach.
Dude, during the COVID, this dude was at the park that was closed instead of being with his family during the pandemic. It was a pandemic. He's like, Tom, what are you doing? He's like, out there at the park. The guy was like, I was going to arrest him, and I found out it was Tom Brady out there working out, so I'm not arresting that guy. Listen, he definitely surpasses Michael Jordan now in terms of competitive sickness.
Oh, for sure.
Did Michael Jordan never lose his marriage over the game?
No, it was other reasons.
I mean, he lost a lot of things.
Because of the game.
The game. Not a game.
game.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into
the streets don't want you, Tom.
We'll get to the Cowboys on the other side, right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.